This is Tower Time, a League of Legends podcast.
Welcome to episode 5 of Tower Dive, the place where nerds can leave their parents' basement and play Donkey Kong in peace. I, of course, am Captain Hooks, and with me, as always, is my partner in crime, Pan the Man.
Hello!
What's going on, buddy?
Nothing much. You spend a lot of time in your mom's basement playing Donkey Kong?
No, but I'm glad you asked. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on this, but that ass clown Colin Cowherd on ESPN, because you know they showed Heroes of the Storm
right.
On ESPN2, he obviously made fun of all gamers calling us nerds that live in our parents' basement and that we play Donkey Kong because he doesn't understand that. If you're going to make fun of something, at least make fun of it and know what you're talking about. That's
yeah.
All I have to say.
Something a little more relevant than Donkey Kong.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, we make fun of shit all the time, but at least we make fun of shit that we can back up with the knowledge.
Yeah, and it's almost more self-depreciating than anything else because, you know, we are those Donkey Kong nerds.
Yeah, I love Donkey Kong. I just thought it was fitting to kind of give a little jab at him because I've been sort of poking the cage all day on Twitter with him, so...
Oh, has he responded?
No, and he should not. He could not call it because I called him an imbecile. I said, if you're gonna insult something, at least watch this video and understand it, so you can sound like less of an asshole.
Yeah, that's so. Always good advice. Is to if you want to make some fun of something, be knowledgeable of the subject so that you can really, you know, make it hurtful.
Exactly. Otherwise, you're just gonna have nerds blast you like me on Twitter. So, this week, we had some relegations, didn't we?
Yeah, we had a lot of stuff happen this week. Big week for League of Legends.
Yeah, like last week after our show, I remember, you know, kind of gathering my thoughts on that Monday and kind of, you know, being like, oh, wow, you know, I wonder if it's going to be a big week. And it was a fucking huge week.
Yeah.
Especially
today. Today was a big week. Or big day, I guess. Not a big week today.
Today was a huge week.
Yeah. But we'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll go into all that. Let's start with relegation.
Yes.
America and Europe, we now know who is going to be in the LCS next year. And a little disappointing, at least for me, is there's not a lot of new teams.
No, not really. Most of the... Well, I mean, to be fair, the ones that are not getting relegated are still mostly new teams. Just Dignitas that was able to stick around.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm happy because I like Core JJ. I think Dignitas has a lot of talent. As a squad, they have a lot of room to grow.
Oh, for sure.
That being said, selfish Captain Hooks wanted to see 4 new teams.
But the problem with that is a lot of these new teams can't stand up to the top 4 in the LCS either, so you're just going to have a huge point disparity.
Oh, they'll just get squashed. Yeah, no, yeah. I understand that.
Yeah, makes fantasy easier, though.
I just like seeing new blood, I guess. Call me old-fashioned.
Sometimes you get a Cloud9. Sometimes you get a big pile of shit.
Coast Gaming.
Yeah. Aww.
Yeah, no.
Sorry.
So the games were entertaining. I wouldn't say that they were the most sparkling display of League of Legends talent ever put forth on a stream, but
yeah.
they were entertaining.
Kind of rough to watch if you're looking for mechanical or shot calling skill or, you know, teams with cohesion. If you really like watching solo queue or, you know, ranked 5v5s through the Spectate client, then these would be great.
And I think it's funny because when you watch these teams play, I think you realize that's why they're in these situations.
Yeah.
You know, because they're lacking that next level ability to kind of manage their team within the game, where they're able to sort of collect their thoughts and be like, okay, let's do this, okay, let's do that, okay, push this, okay, back off. That's where the teams, like, even though they're not doing well, the middling teams like the CLGs and the Elements, where they're lacking in the proper abilities to win games, they also are good enough where they don't lose games because of little things like that.
And they also punish you harder for mistakes. So if you pick a bad dragon fight, TSM is going to put it right where you don't want it.
Oh, absolutely.
Whereas Fusion Gaming might be a little more lenient with your mistakes.
That's fair. Although, yeah, Fusion. Speaking of Fusion, on a side note, I know a lot of people were hoping that they were going to make it to the next round.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while, it really looked like they were going to beat
them. Yeah.
I'm really glad they didn't, because I'm gonna get a lot of shit for this, but I fucking hate Nintendo, dude.
I don't hate him. I nothing him.
Okay, maybe you're right. Maybe hate is an incredibly strong word.
Very strong.
I just dislike that people like him. Is that better?
I'm not sure why people anything him. I mean, he's okay. I don't know, maybe I just don't pay enough attention to him to really generate adequate feelings.
I'm sure he's a fine gentleman. I'm sure that people enjoy speaking with him, and he's wonderful at parties. But as far as a player goes, I don't get the Nintendo love. I watch him play. I don't get it. Plus, a little pissed. I'm not a big Nien fan. I think Nien's a little weirdo. But he did steal a Pentakill from him.
Yeah, I know. I hate it. I mean, I don't think Pentakill should be given up for free. But if you have the opportunity for an LCS Pentakill, you know, let the dude have it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how many do you get in a career?
If he was dead, if Nien had just died and couldn't get the Pentakill because of that, fine. Obviously, there's no chance of the Pentakill, but he was standing right fucking there.
Yeah.
Like, here's what you do. You let him go for the Pentakill until you know he can't get it.
Then you steal it.
Yeah, then you steal it. You know, you don't... if you can't, it's like, okay, get it. You can't get it. Okay, I'm taking it. Fuck you.
I got it. Mine. That one's mine.
Yeah, I get that, and I'm completely okay with that. But Nien got the auto attack off. The dude just killed him before it reached it.
I know. I mean, it's not even that big of a deal. The game was over. They probably shouldn't have even chased that kill to begin with.
It's whatever. The thing is they clearly were going for the Penta, except the scumbag stole it.
Absolutely.
That's where I have the biggest problem, is because it was like it was a worthless chase specifically for the Pentakill, and he took it from him. It's like, well, you're a really big dick. It wasn't like in the heat of a big team fight that surrounded Dragon or something.
Did you listen to the mic check about it? They did a little mic check with the comms.
Oh, I didn't even know they had it.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. I mean, they're all friends. I mean, no one was pissed off about it. I think we're probably more pissed off than Nien actually was.
Oh, I'm sure he doesn't care. I mean, that's one of those things where it's like fleeting. It's like you'd be like, oh, fuck you. And it's like, oh, whatever, I don't care. We got the kill and we won. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, we're in the LCS. Oh, wait, never mind. You know what? Fuck you. That was my pentakill.
Right. At this point, when you look back on it, maybe he should have been a little more pissed about it.
Yep.
I mean, that's what they're grasping at right now, because they're not in the LCS.
No, which isn't... I'm surprised they made it this far in the Challenger Series once they last lost McNoon.
It shows you the depth of talent in the American Challenger Series, doesn't it?
Yeah, little shallow.
Not quite as deep as we were hoping. And on the other side of it, the pool isn't much deeper in Europe, apparently, because Rocket and Giants, Rocket, who people didn't even think was going to be a fucking team anymore.
Yeah. I didn't actually watch a lot of those games, so I don't have a whole lot of insight on what went down.
I caught some of the Giants games. Giants actually looked pretty good.
I'm not surprised that they're still in it. Their biggest... problem in the actual LCS was one Wurlib
playing only one champion.
One champion, he got Jax, and that was it. But he started to turn it around towards the end of the season.
Well, I think because teams legitimately just let him go because they didn't think he was a factor.
Right, but they still banned Jax against him.
Well, you might as well take away the only thing he has and make him play Maokai.
I know the team had some issues. They were moving into a new house. They didn't have internet. They couldn't practice a lot. There were some problems going on in the beginning of the LCS.
I understand all that, but that's not an excuse to only be good on one champion.
No, it's not, but it is a good excuse to have kind of a crappy season towards the beginning of it.
Sure, I can allow that, and I can sympathize with that, and I can say, okay, I get all of that, but you have been chosen to play for a professional gaming team. You don't even have a champion puddle. You have a champion droplet.
Yeah.
You know, you have one champion, and I don't care if you're the best fucking player in the universe on that player. They're going to ban it once they see you're good on it.
They did.
And it's exactly what happened, and he was rendered completely useless for a majority of the season.
Got me -2 points on my fantasy team. All right.
Thank you, Wurlib.
Right on.
With relegation set, it sort of paves the way now for MSI.
Yeah. Well, actually, it doesn't. Relegations has nothing to do with MSI.
I mean, it paves the way for MSI is now the next thing on the docket.
Oh, yes. The next big thing is MSI.
Like everyone was talking about relegations because they wanted to see who got relegated. Right. Actually, hold on. Let me back up for a second. So Winter Fox is out. So that is going to reverberate pretty big in terms of where people are going to go, because we've already been told that Alltech is not going to be with Winter Fox.
And rumor has it Poe Belter is leaving as well. And there's also some speculations about Helios leaving.
And
I would assume if Helios leaves, his brother's going to leave as well.
Yeah, especially because his brother isn't that good.
It looks like EG has to reach into their pockets and buy a new team.
I heard Coast is for sale.
Coast is always for sale.
I'm very interested to see where these guys go, because I know Alltech was very unhappy with his play and with the team's play towards the end of the season, namely when they made him the support.
Yeah, that's going to feel pretty bad.
But I know he was really cracking under the pressure as well, that he felt a lot of pressure on himself, and it was really affecting his game, and that kind of led to craziness that was going on in their team, and that really kind of put them in their worst stretch, and they really just never were able to climb out of it. Which sucks.
They weren't.
Because, I mean, I like Helios. I think Helios is a great player. I just don't think he was right for this team. I think there was too much inexperience on this team.
Yeah, Helios has also been on a decline for a while, though.
Yeah, but I don't think Helios is the type of jungler that they needed. Because Helios is he's a setup jungler. He's not a carry jungler. You know, he's not the type of jungler that's going to gank and get you, you know, 8-9 kills in a good game. He's the type of jungler that's going to get you, you know, 4 or 5 kills and like 13 assists.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to say a support jungler, but you know, he just sets you up he sets up your carries, and their carries just weren't very good this year.
Yeah, Poe Belter, overall, not a good performance.
Poe Belter time and time again shows how great he is in solo queue and how bad he is in the LCS.
Yeah, I guess, though, when you know someone is that mechanically sound but the team has holes in it, it's pretty easy to exploit that weakness as well, though.
It's just so frustrating because I'm kind of getting tired of the same old song of people telling me how good Poe Belter is. And
he's so good.
Poe Belter, he's so good. He's
top in Challenger. He's like number one in North America.
He's got like 4 people in Challenger, and it's like, okay, great. But when the games matter, he sucks. I'm sorry.
Maybe spend less time playing solo queue and more time scrimming with your team.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we're not geniuses here, but...
Not a coach.
Clearly neither are they.
Not a doctor.
Somebody needs to tell them, hey, you know what? Maybe spend less time stroking your EP in solo queue and maybe hit the books and practice with the team.
Yeah. Hey, watch this footage. No, I gotta get to the top of the ladder again.
My third Smurf has to get back into Challenger. He's only in Masters. So I kind of grew tired of the Poe Belter. Yeah. And I'm sure he's a great player. He just needs to take his game to the next level now.
Yeah. You know what the real problem, though, with Winter Fox doing so poorly?
Curse.
The EG curse. So EG's going to pick up new players that are really promising and probably doing really well at the time, and they're going to run them directly into the ground.
EG could buy SK Telecom, and they would go and all of a sudden become bad.
They bought one of the best players in Korea for StarCraft II, and then I don't think he actually ever won anything while he was on EG's roster.
Well, it's the EG curse, don't you say? Yeah,
it's strong. It's a strong curse. They should just change their name to Curse.
Ooh, I heard that name is available.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to where we were going. Now we were jumping back into the MSI. So now that relegations are over and Winter Fox waved bye-bye to bye-bye to relevance, and the other teams, you know, managed to hang on to their lifelines just a little bit longer, we change our focus to the Midseason Invitational, or MSI, as it's being called fondly.
Yeah.
So we already knew that TSM is in it, that Fnatic is in it. We have wildcard teams of...
Is a Turkish team? Sabiktas?
Besiktas.
There were a lot of accents in that name.
Besiktas Esports Club. Yep. I know nothing about them. I'm not going to pretend that I'm a big follower of the Turkish scene. I believe last time on our podcast, I called it one of the scrub regions.
Yeah. It was rude. So rude. We got a lot of backlash from that. Did you see all the comments on our blog?
I know. It was a lot of backlash.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, I'm so sorry.
I'm assuming they were insulting us because I have no idea what they're saying.
Yeah, I can't tell the difference if those if that's just the alphabet or if that's actual anger caps lock. It's very tough to tell.
Could have been written out Morse code for all I know.
Yeah.
But they're in it. AHQ Esports, who won the LMS spring season. And in case you don't know what LMS is, that is Taiwan.
Yeah, it's Taiwan scene.
I had to look it up just now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they won that. Actually, I believe we knew that they were in anyway.
I didn't.
I think I actually knew news that for to some me. Reason. Well, surprise! AHQ Esports Club. The next team, though, that was just added is the incredibly powerful Edward Gaming.
Yeah, they're dominant right now.
That was actually a really, really, really good series between them and I believe it was LGD. Is that where they are?
Yes, against LGD.
Yes. Now, LGD and Edward Gaming, they were part of that big, you know, Korean migration where Edward Gaming got Pawn from Samsung White and LGD got Imp from Samsung White. And they're apparently really good friends.
Yeah, so as you would expect.
Yeah, as you would expect. So there was a lot of feels at stake in this game on top of the fact that it's also, I mean, it's basically one half of the this is where Worlds is probably going through talk, you know, conversation now.
Yeah.
I mean, Edward Gaming, when they're on top of their game, is one of the scariest teams in the world when you look at them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I haven't watched any of their games.
Well, putting Pawn and Deft on the same team is a scary situation.
It's pretty scary.
And they're the three Chinese players that they have, like Mako, Clearlove, and Korra. One are all very good players in their own respect, but Pawn and Deft, let's be fair, those are their rock stars. Those are who they spent a lot of money to bring over.
Yeah, and it's tough to ignore the Chinese scene this season, especially. Just because you can actually watch all their games now, so they're going to come into Worlds and everyone's going to know, oh man, fuck, we're in trouble.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, on the other side, obviously LGD Gaming, they picked up Imp, they picked up Flame, they picked up Acorn. They're also an incredibly scary team.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised to see them in Worlds as well.
I have absolutely no doubt in my mind. If I'm not mistaken, the Chinese region is pretty much those two teams, and then, like, OMG.
Yeah.
I think is, like, the other team that's pretty good, because they have Uzi.
I'm.
And Gogoing. Those are two good players. But anyway, regardless, Edward Gaming in MSI, which leaves one more region, the always powerful Korean region.
Ooh.
Now, GE Tigers are already in their championship game. They're already there. They're waiting to see who they're going to play. Well, they were waiting to see who they were going to play. And it was going to be the winner of SKT and CJ Endes. Now,
right.
I know you didn't watch those games.
I did not.
Or at least all of those games.
I'm going to. It's on the list.
Definitely do it. And, I mean, if you don't watch, and I'm talking to the listeners, not just you. If you don't watch the first three games, that's fine. Watch games 4 and 5, because you are in for a treat. Whereas the American and European relegation tournaments were not the most pretty of play in League of Legends, this Korean semifinals was textbook. I mean, this is like, if you could emulate something, games 4 and 5 there, well, maybe not game 5, but game 4 specifically was a 70-minute just monster game. I mean, you just watched it and were like pulling your hair out, like, holy shit! Because it was so great, but so back and forth. And I mean, the thing about it is, obviously, CJ Antis went into game 4 up 2-1, only needing to win one game. The thing is, in Korea, you know what happens if you go to a fifth game, right?
Yeah, blind pick.
Oh, baby, blind pick.
So good. So rare.
Oh, it's like finding a unicorn in Atlantis.
Wow.
But so, so, so worth it. It was everything that it panned out to be, because CJ Antis played their asses off in game 4 because they needed the win, and they did not get it. Bang went crazy in that game. I mean, it went 70 minutes. 70 yeah. minutes in a Korean game, that's like a 3-hour American game.
You're right.
I mean,
it's Korean time. They're different over there.
Exactly. It went to a fifth game, led to blind pick. Blind pick, obviously, everyone knows blind pick means no bans, which means what?
Faker gets LeBlanc.
Oh, shit. Faker, who going into that game was 11-0 on LeBlanc. CJ just knew what they were getting into. Faker got LeBlanc. Long story short, Faker went 15-1-10 on LeBlanc. And SKT steamrolled. They interviewed him after the game. And they asked him, why are you so OP on LeBlanc? And he's like, it's not me. The champion is just OP.
You know, I wish that were true. I tried, you know, I've been trying to play LeBlanc, and I'm not good. Not good at it.
You know, I read that interview, and I read Faker saying, oh yeah, it's not me. LeChamp is OP. I couldn't disagree anymore.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Maybe the champion's OP, but Faker, my friend, you are in fact OP.
You're doing it, man. He single-handedly changes the meta.
Nerf Faker.
Right? Can we, like, take a couple of his fingers or something? You know, make it fair?
I don't even think that would do it. I think you have to cut his head off. You have to just behead him.
We have That's to it. Take away his keyboard so he can only play with a mouse?
Only play with a rollerball mouse.
Yeah.
Because he's insane. His LeBlanc, like, seriously, like, when you watch him play his LeBlanc, there should be opera music playing in the background.
It's impressive, the positioning, and he just gets the kills.
It's
everything.
It's like watching music playing. It's just so smooth. There's no herky-jerky. He never looks like he doesn't know what he wants to do. He's just, I'm going here. I'm doing this. I killed you. Quadra kill. You know, it's just like, it's magical. I don't like to wax poetic about things like that, and I don't usually make a big deal over things of that nature. His LeBlanc is magical.
It's nasty.
It makes me tear up. It makes my eyes misty. On one half, I'm like, you should never ban it out because people should get to see it. On the other half, if you ever want to win a game, you can't let the guy play it.
Yeah, it's scary. And it's never like, you know, sometimes you see LeBlanc players oopsies and do the wrong skill on their mimic. Not here.
No, never.
No oopsies.
There's no. You could cut his eyeballs out. He would still kick your ass on friggin' LeBlanc.
He's played just on sound and pain.
Exactly. He would be fine. He would. Yeah. It wouldn't affect his game anymore. Anyway, that means, obviously, that SKT moves on. They move on to play the GE Tigers, and I'm very excited to see that game.
Yeah, it should be a really good game.
Their matches have been pretty epic this season when they've met. Really interested to see, because SKT, I'm not going to lie, they started off the season, were a little slow. Yeah, they were in second place most of the season, but they weren't, like, they didn't look scary. They've kind of snowballed, they're kind of steamrolling now, and they're really started to pick up some momentum, and they are frightening right now.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, you have the best player in the world. His backup, his backup, Easy Hoon, is really fucking good.
Really, really good.
Like, if I was him, I'd be so pissed that I'm on the team with the best mid laner, because there's a chance he could be, like, a top 5 mid laner in the world.
Easy.
Hoon.
Yeah.
Ha ha! Hachi!
Now, you gotta, I love it.
You can't sleep on this show.
Nope.
Yeah, so I'm done romanticizing about Korea. All I know is that that game is going to be a killer, and I think it's this weekend. So
it is this weekend.
Do yourself a favor, if you're listening to this, mark it on your calendar. Watch that game. At least one match.
Stay up all night.
Stay up all night. You know what? Drink a whole bunch of coffee. Make some popcorn. You know, turn the lights down low. Just watch it. Maybe turn the opera on in the back, like I said, because it's worth it.
Yeah. Try and get it to slow-mo if you can, because that'd be
right.
Pretty
seriously. Oh, yeah. So we have MSI. Awesome. Looking forward to it. More of a solemn note, although on this show, maybe it wasn't such a solemn note. It was High is retiring.
Yeah. I'm still pretty sad about it. I'm not sad. I mean, I think... You know, he was important to C9, and he's not dead.
No, he's
just
not dead.
Moving on within the organization
that he owns.
He doesn't own it.
Oh no, he absolutely does. It's his organization. He started it. He's just allowed. was it Jack? Is that who runs the organization now? He gave Jack just control so that he can focus on his play.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's High's organization. Don't be...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, do not be confused. That is... C9 is High's organization.
Did not know that.
High retired. We'd been talking about it for the last few shows, about how his game really has been suffering. He's hurt, and he can't play as much as he would like to. And
right.
When you can't, and I read his blog post about it, about him deciding to retire, and how he was saying that the thing that hurt the most wasn't all of the backlash that he faced from the community recently. It was that his team lost confidence in him.
Yeah, that's tough.
And he said that was the hardest thing to deal with, is that his team no longer had confidence in him because he couldn't play as much as he would have liked to, as they would have liked him to be able to play, because of his wrist problems. And he had said that he could probably only go one more split before being forced into retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And I frankly think he stayed one split too many.
I think
after last season's situation, he should have bowed out. You know, they were in Worlds. They did what they had to do. You could have went out, you know, on the world stage and been like, look, I've had an awesome run. I have an awesome time. I can now fall into management in C9, and we're going to come back stronger than ever.
Yeah.
Because you can't deny that they looked like a beaten team this year, despite staying in second place.
Yeah, this season looked a bit rough.
Yeah, and I don't want to blame all that on High, and I don't think that's fair to blame all that on High, but it definitely was a significant factor in that.
I mean, you can see the lack of confidence. It was pretty obvious.
Oh, yeah, they did not, and I mean, because he can't practice as much, his champion pool really suffered.
Yeah, and it's tough to expand your champion pool, too. It's not something you do overnight.
No, and the meta evolved around him in a bad way, because he always played very supporty mid laners. Like, he was never strong with the assassin meta, or...
No, he was always strong in the assassin meta. That was his bread and butter.
Well, he described himself as a support mid laner.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't play that way.
Well, if you look at his play recently, he doesn't play like anyway.
Well... That's not fair.
That was my dig. Yeah. Like I said, I like High. I think High is a great personality for League of Legends. I think he's the type of guy that's a good ambassador for the game.
Yeah.
Because he's likable, despite the fact that everything he says is with an upward inflection, which drives me nuts.
Maybe he likes to ask a lot of questions.
I don't know why. Everything he has to say ends as an upward inflection, like he's constantly asking a question.
Sometimes it's really important to make sure, you know, to ask a lot of questions, so you know what you're talking about.
It just drove me nuts when he would do that, and just how he talks, I guess. But that's fine. He will be missed. He was a classy guy, despite the fact he maybe was a little bit emotional at times.
Yeah.
Letting people get to him. It's tough to have a thick skin. Like I said, you know, last week or the week before, you know, these guys come from a different background. You know, if they were social outcasts or shy or something, you know, I don't know what that's like, not to toot my own horn. I'm not a shy person. I'm not the type of person who is nervous around big groups or anything. It doesn't bother me. So I don't know what it's like to be on that side of things. I'm sure it's incredibly difficult. So I give him a lot of credit for, you know, I guess in a way getting out of that, but also at the same time, he let these people get to him, and you can't ever let them do that.
I don't know if he did let, like, by fans? Is that what you mean by people? I don't think he let fans get to him.
No, he let the naysayers and all the people, the trolls and everything on Reddit. He definitely let it get to him.
I don't think he did. I think he's actually stepping down not because people are hating on him, but because he actually knows it was time.
Oh, I'm not saying he stepped down because of it. What I'm saying is that he responded to a lot of that, to a lot of that negativity, and you can't give them that. You can't give the negativity, because that's the vocal minority. I mean, those are the people that are going to make the most noise because they're the empty can. You can't give them the satisfaction of knowing they got to you. And I think towards the end, he definitely was more affected by it than he let know. I'm sure it didn't have anything to do with his retiring. Just in general, I think he let it get to him too much. And I think that is... It's kind of a sad thing to happen to a guy who I generally do think is a pretty good guy and a pretty stand-up guy, and who deserves the respect of his peers as well as his, you know, his fans and even his detractors. You know, he was never the type of guy. Like, Reggie was an asshole. You know, Hotshot GG, you know, really fell apart to the end of his career. He's one of those guys who he went out. Yeah, you know, injuries maybe hurt his career. He's one of those guys who he always had a good attitude.
Yeah.
You know, he never was, you know, he never turned into the monster that people probably, you know, hoped he would. So it made disliking him easier.
Yeah, I don't think the negative community affected him as much as you're making it out to be. I think what really was difficult for him was the team losing confidence in him, like you said earlier.
Well, the fact that he made a blog post entirely about people giving him a hard time about things begs to differ.
But they weren't just giving him a hard time. They were giving lots of people a hard time. And again, he wasn't saying, you know, oh, you guys are all shitty assholes. You shouldn't be doing this. He was like, you know, maybe be less shitty.
Yeah, that's fine. But
if you have a megaphone and people are listening to you, why not make a blog post telling people to be less shitty? I think that's pretty good advice.
Yeah, and then while you're doing it, tell people to stop being like creepy and downloading gross weird porn on the internet too. While you're at it.
Sure. Yeah, good advice. Good advice all around.
These are things that aren't going to happen.
Write that down. You can't express the opinion. I mean,
I know, but I think, like I said, I just felt like it was feeding the trolls. But we already talked about all of that. That's a different show. If you want to hear that show, you go back into our archives and you listen to it because
episode one.
I think that was episode two, actually.
Episode two. Listen to both. They're great.
You know
they're so good.
Just in case, listen to all four.
Yeah.
And then you come back and you let us know which one it was in.
Yeah. Leave a comment.
Please, just a little comment action. High retired.
Yes.
And now Crepo retired.
Yes.
I'm actually kind of sad about that because I'm going to miss Crepo in the pro scene. And
I think he's still going to be around as an analyst or a caster. I think.
No. I know that. I just mean as a player.
I liked him more of a caster than a player anyway.
Well, Crepo was, like, when I first started playing support, he was like the first guy who I was like, I want to play like that guy. But then I watched Korean games and I was like, I don't want to play like that guy. He sucks.
Right.
But Crepo was the first guy back during, you know, CLG Black, during the CLG Black era, CLG E, right?
Yeah.
You know, that was the first guy. Yeah, totally. The most. He was the first guy who I remember watching and being like, because he would play Blitzcrank, and I'm like, oh my god, this guy is fucking awesome. I love Crepo. It made me not feel bad about stealing kills from my ADC because of scumbag Crepo, dude. He totally steals kills. I want to steal kills.
Super bloodthirsty.
Oh, it was the best. And I will miss him because I don't think that League has personalities like him as much anymore. You know, it sounds stupid to say because, you know, we're only in Season 5 and the game is only, you know, 6 years old, whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, oh, man, you know, the game doesn't have personalities like that anymore. But it really doesn't. You know, more teams are so much more business and they're not, you know, I mean, look at your biggest personalities in it. Who are they? You got your double. You got your double lift.
Yep. Aframu.
Old fucking man. Old fucking man.
As far as personality goes, Forgiven's kind of a personality.
Fucking asshole.
He's new, too. He is only, 19, 20?
Well,
he's super young.
I don't mean that they're old.
I mean, like, even within esports, that's still pretty young. He's only been in the game for 2 years, 1 year.
No, I'm just saying, but even specifically, you know, like, just in your base regions, I mean, your Pekkes, you know, all of these guys who are bigger personalities are, you know, all part of the old guard, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe it's half because the new guys are still, you know, kind of being broken in and what have you.
They're still new.
Or it's just because they're just more focused on the game and less focused on the community aspect of it.
Yeah, that could be a big part of it too, because back when Peke and Crepo and Double F were all getting big, you had to be focused on the community, otherwise no one was going to pay attention to you.
Yeah. Look at the old CLG EU roster. I mean, Snoopy hasn't played in a long time, and the community still loves him.
Snoopy Stare.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Wicked is Wicked, but he's incredibly outspoken. There's few people who acknowledge the community more than Wicked does.
Yeah.
And I don't even like Wicked.
As a player.
I don't. Probably as a person.
I know. I never talked to him.
But again, what I'm saying is these guys interact with you.
Yeah.
You know, if you say something about them, they're going to respond to you on Reddit.
I think a lot of it's moved over to Ask FM. I think that's probably what we're just missing out on. We don't go over there.
Highly possible.
Yeah.
Maybe we should make a little mental note of that.
Because I know Tabs and Reckless are pretty active over there. And
yeah.
They're both super passive aggressive.
I thought Ask FM was a radio station online. I'll be completely honest with you.
It is not. It's kind of like you ask a question and then they respond to it. It's like a whole page full of AMAs.
Oh, that's weird, I guess.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
We should totally have an Ask FM.
Yes, for all of our fans.
So you guys can reach us. You can listen. I'll give you my phone number if you want to call me.
You can text me.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Do you want to come to my daughter's birthday party?
We got beer.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. Or like I said, I mean, you know, you look at these teams. You know, how active is Alltech and Pobelter in the community? You know, how active is Impulse?
Well, half of them don't speak English. That's not fair.
Yeah, but I think they can read English. They're not playing on a Korean client.
And I think Apollo streams a lot.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you don't see a lot of these guys kind of posting on Reddit, I guess. I don't want to use Reddit as the be-all, end-all, but that is the biggest forum for these guys. And you know, whereas the people that you normally see posting a lot on Reddit are the Crepos, the Voy Boys, the Wickeds. You know, these are guys who are very active. And
I think a lot of teams are actually just following TSM suit and just staying away from Reddit on purpose.
It's probably a good plan. I mean,
yeah.
Reddit isn't exactly, you know, the Wonderland, you know,
nope.
Yellow brick road that we make it out to be sometimes.
Not Candyland.
It is not a fun place to be.
So if you're a player and you're not doing especially well, it's just not, it's not worth your time.
No,
it's just really not.
No, and that's sort of the stance that I've taken a lot, which is, if you're not going to be active on social media, then you should just not be on social media for the most part.
Yeah.
Because there's no point in only, you know, addressing it when you're doing well.
Yeah.
Because then you're painting a picture that's not accurate.
Yeah. And I think if you want to be active on social media, I think Twitter, I think Facebook, and I think streaming is fine. I think posts on Reddit aren't.
No, I don't think it's healthy.
No, it's not. Because what happens is you end up getting sucked into this downward spiral of arguing with people whose minds you're not going to change.
No, who just want to fight with you. It doesn't matter if you said the sky is fucking orange with purple polka dots.
That's bullshit. It's definitely periwinkle.
Exactly. And that's what Reddit has become. And I mean,
that's why you suck at mid lane, because the sky is periwinkle.
Exactly, and that's why I suck at mid lane.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't want to make this a bigger thing about Reddit, because I know Reddit's had its issues in the more recent, and I'm not really going to go into all of that. The whole social media aspect, and with these players, it's just such a weird kind of dichotomy that's been created, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because these guys have to be active and they have to be part of the community in order to stay relevant in one hand, but in order to also you know, get bigger and grow, because you know, people always talk about how much they love the fact that certain players are always interacting and they're always available, and it's like, oh, it's awesome, you know, I can just say something and fucking Nintendo dude commented back a bunch of times on my post on Reddit, which again I don't really give a shit about, but but you know, there are some people who hang their hat on stuff like that, and that's like, you know, they're trading off of shit like that.
Yeah, and you got to plug your brand too.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's, you know, that's why a guy like Nintendo can stream and you know, maybe pull, you know, 1,000 viewers and stuff. It isn't because he's particularly interesting. It's just because he's active in the community and people want to support that. You want to support that guy who's, because look, man, he's in the fucking trenches just like me. He's posted on the same dumbass shit that I'm commenting on Reddit. I want to watch this guy because, you know what? He's one of us.
Yeah, it's good for people to relate to you.
Yeah, and I think that's a lot, and I think that's missing a lot in some parts of this community. You know, I know we always have, you know, we have the tagline is, you know, we're the voice of the people because we are the people.
We are the people.
Exactly, and you know, and I think a lot of people kind of want that. They want that relationship because other sports don't provide that relationship anymore. You know, the days of football players and baseball players being able to kind of like walk over to the stands and talk to you, you know, are gone, because it's so filled with so much hatred and so much, there's so much fucking vitriol surrounding these players. It's no more about just the game. It's beyond that. It's been taken above that. And that's starting to be what Reddit's becoming now, too.
Yeah.
It's no longer that place where, you know what, I can just interact with other people that have similar likes as me and play League and play top lane, you know, and they love to play Kha'Zix. You know, it's not that anymore. if I say I play top lane Kha'Zix, I'm a fucking faggot.
Right. Except like, people have a boner for top lane Kha'Zix right now. I'm not sure what happened today.
Yeah, it was
weird.
But it's
the shitheads are ruining it for everybody.
Exactly, and it's like, you know, and again, like I said, I'm not trying to make this a witch hunt on Reddit. It's a community that I've watched devolve.
Yeah, and the day is coming where people aren't going to interact with Reddit anymore, which I think might be a good thing. I think I'm really okay with that.
It's slowly becoming a more specific 4chan, I feel like.
I mean, there's too many rules to really become a 4chan.
I don't necessarily mean in that regard. I mean in the regard that 4chan is like a fucking black hole.
Just that one part. You know, don't go there.
It's become like the joke of the internet. Like, people talk about 4chan and it's like, oh man, it's like a fucking 4chan, you know.
Do people talk about 4chan still?
I don't mean that they talk about it like with any kind of fond
we're dating
memories.
Ourselves.
Yeah, but I'm saying
showing our age.
Right? But people talk about 4chan when they're like making jokes about things sucking or being terrible or being really bad or just being full of nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, it's like 4chan. And
it's a silly place.
Exactly. It is a silly place. So, I, you know, again, I think we went way further.
What were we talking about?
I don't know.
High. We were talking about High retiring.
High and Crepo, and it talked
and
about...
Crepo, and it makes us sad that we're losing some of these old guard big personalities.
Yeah, and while you're right, Crepo's not going anywhere. I mean, if Riot has any brain in their head, which I like to think that they do, Crepo will be on the analyst desk come the start of the summer split. Because the dude knows what he's talking about. And let's face it, he's a fun guy.
You yeah, know, he's like a good him. Analyst. And I think he's going to be a good caster. I think he needs a little bit of experience in coaching.
Well, I think he definitely has it in him to be just as good as Deficio. I mean, Deficio sucked when he first came out. Now, I love listening to Deficio.
He's great.
I think Deficio, number one, his insight is fucking spot on.
Yeah.
He doesn't pull punches. He says exactly what he wants to say.
Yeah,
and he's not wrong, and I like that. You know, I mean, where Quickshot is never says the right thing, I feel like Deficio is Deficio is right on top of it, and it's like, no, dude, this is how it is. This is how it is. They're gonna do this. They're gonna do this. They're gonna do this, and then they're gonna do this, and you're an asshole. You know, it's just like vintage stuff, and that's why I think I'm really prone, and I think Crepo has it in him to be that good.
Yeah, I agree. He's probably going to be a little more positive than Deficio will be, but he'll still be pretty real.
Well, that's because he's German and you know, we're Belgian, and Deficio's Danish.
Yeah, that's it. It's a Danish blood.
It's that Danish negativity in him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that even a thing?
Let's say it is.
It is
yes.
Now.
Yes, it is.
If it wasn't, it is today.
Yeah.
Let's get on some actual Riot stuff, because there's a lot of cool stuff coming out on the Riot end of things. Like, number one, we're getting our Samsung White skin.
Woo! Which most of them are super good.
Yeah, I actually said they've been stepping up their game ever since. They will be coming out, I think it's May 18th, right after MSI, whatever it is. It's right after MSI.
I thought it started MSI weekend.
Yeah, but
is
I think...
Not?
I'm not 100% sure. I just know they're coming out around in and around the whole MSI bullshit, which is fucking great. You know, you've got Rengar, Singed, Talon, which I really don't get. And even the reason that they use is like, we know that he doesn't play a lot of Talon anymore, but he did like one game.
I think Pawn actually requested a Talon skin.
I know he loves Talon, but usually I thought they made it about like a player they. A champion they played more like during the championship season.
Yeah.
But whatever, it doesn't matter.
Unfortunate.
It doesn't matter because Mata got Thresh, and Mata's the best Thresh in the world.
Yeah, and it's a good looking skin too.
It is a really. I'm actually looking at it right now, and it is a nice skin. I will be purchasing this.
Yeah,
and,
I'll probably get Twitch as well.
Like I say, an Imp got Twitch.
Yeah.
Although I was hoping for him to get his blonde hair up in there.
Like that would be funny, instead of just a hairless
with glasses.
Thing.
Like, yeah. It looks like a rat that got his hair burnt off.
Yeah, he's all pink and scary.
Yeah, it's creepy looking. But
looks good, though.
Yeah, but so we're getting those skins. We also have apparently some crazy Sailor Moon Lux skin on the PBE, it looks like.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
It looks like crap, but I'm assuming it's just because it's super early.
It's just, I don't like it thematically.
Yeah.
That's really it.
Not a big Sailor Moon fan?
No, I'm a huge Sailor Moon fan. I don't think that has a place in League.
Here, let me give you this. You give me a Sailor Moon Lux skin, you give me a fucking tuxedo mask fucking Twisted Fate.
Yeah, it's got to throw roses, though.
Okay, I'm okay with all of that.
Yeah.
More importantly are the Ash changes.
Yeah, I'm super excited about this, and they totally went in a direction that I didn't think was going to be a thing, and I think it's awesome.
I dig it. I like that they made her Q is now just her passive.
It seems really strong.
Well, I'm looking at the numbers on it right now. And, yeah, it looks like it's going to be a little bit strong.
Yeah.
But it makes sense with her character.
Yeah, and we'll see how they tune it, too.
Yeah, well, it's going to take some work. It's not like they're going to pump this out into PBE and then, you know, fucking tomorrow it's going to be, you know, launched live. This is going to take some time. So her passive is totally new. They got rid of the crit passive. Her Q now is called Ranger's Focus, which is something totally different.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to go into explaining this, because I can't explain it.
So, the Q, it's kind of difficult to explain without watching the video. So, there's a passive on it that builds up stacks. Once you hit 5 stacks, you start unleashing almost like a Lulu passive set of auto attacks. So you auto attack once, and then 3 more arrows come out, and then hit for additional damage. And then the active on it adds an additional slow to your auto attacks, which is pretty nice, so they kind of keep that intact.
Oh, and they made her Hawkshot global.
Yeah, global, and you get charges on it, so you kind of stack up charges.
Yeah, I think it stacks up. I think it only stacks up 2 charges, but it no longer grants passive gold.
Which is fine. No one wants that invisible power. It doesn't feel good.
No, it's just a dumb ability.
Yeah.
I think it's much more useful and viable now, because now you can be like Hawkshot, Crystal Arrow.
Yeah.
You know, like as soon as you see it, you know, as soon as you see somebody poke their head out through the hawk shot, it's like,
although,
awesome.
It's a pretty slow-moving missile, too, so if you're trying to do it from across the map, you'll probably miss.
It still gives you more of an idea, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely, it's not a perfect ability, but that's fine, because it doesn't need to be. It'll give you a general range. It's like, okay,
yeah.
I think
it's really good. Once you check objectives, you're not going to have to phase check anything.
Yeah, I think it's going to put her definitely back into the competitive scene. Yeah. At least I hope, because I do kind of like Ash sometimes. Sometimes
I like her too, and I got skins for her that I want to use.
Sometimes I hate Ash, but
yeah,
ooh,
I won a game with an Ash on my team in solo queue.
Kicking Ash, taking
I didn't
games.
Think we were going to win, so I played Braum just for the Freljord lane, and we ended up crushing, and it was great.
There you go. It was the
so
ice lane.
The moral of that story is to always pick thematic matching champions, you know, disregard skill level and how good you are on this champion. Just make sure that they match.
Fuck the meta. Go in matching lane.
Matching set. It's always the most important.
Always go matching set.
Write that down.
Solo queue advice. Always play a matching lane. I mean, that works at all levels. I do have to say, though, I'm a little pissed that we still haven't gotten any news about the next champion.
I'm not. I'm okay with the amount of champions we have.
I'm okay with the amount of champions that we have, but I'm an American. I want more.
I need it more.
I want
more stuff.
Bigger, better, more of it. Give me more. You know,
there hasn't even been a hint or anything. There's no leaks or anything.
Yeah,
right.
I know. Yeah. It's bullshit. Is what it is. I want. You know, we crave media. We crave things.
Yeah.
Give us more. I don't care if you give me page upon page upon page of fucking ridiculous teaser lore.
Actually, you know what? I don't really want any more lore. I am super okay with the Dark Mysterious past theme that we have going on.
I was going to say, we have no lore, so it doesn't matter. You can give me page upon page of lore. It doesn't matter, because the lore means nothing.
Yeah, I don't give a shit. I just want cool champions.
No, I agree. That's all
that
I
have
want.
Cool themes. I don't really care how they intertwine with each other in Runeterra.
Listen, I admitted to being a nerd before, but I hate when people nerd out on lore for a MOBA. It's not an RPG.
It's not. It doesn't affect anything. I mean, and the thing is, the lore right now is actually better than what it was, because before, you know, all this retuning, every champion lore ended the same. And that's why they're in the League of Legends. Like, every single thing had a tie-in. It was like Twisted Metal, where everyone had to fight Callisto to get their wish. That's why everyone's in the League of Legends.
It was like Street Fighter.
Yeah. It's not, entertaining, really. It's not engaging. It's kind of boring. At least now there's, there is a little bit of mystery, which apparently people hate. But I think it's good. It's open-ended. They can kind of craft these large events like the Freljord and the Shurima and all these events like that.
I think a lot of people also are angry because the lore is no more like these fucking vast tomes crafted. They're like, six or seven sentences.
They're long. I mean, yeah, but six or seven sentences combined with a sweet animation.
I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, you get a 90-second cartoon with it, that's way better than a Journal of Justice. I mean, come on.
Journal of Justice, didn't they stop making those?
Yeah, it's gone. There's no more Journal of Justice.
That's probably better. I remember
gone the way of summoners.
I remember trying to read that and going, I don't know what this means. This is dumb.
Yeah, it was a little dumb.
It was kind of goofy. And I think that's sort of what, when you try to overdo it with lore in a game that is not lore-centric, that you're not playing a story, it sort of loses its relevance.
Yeah, it's just not important to the game. There's nowhere to use it either. It's not like you can use any of this lore in their cinematics, or you can't really craft in-game events with it if... everyone's lore ends with, and that's why they're in the League of Legends.
Yeah, like, I'll be honest with you, I couldn't give a rat's ass why Jax uses his lamppost as his weapon.
Yeah, with his three-fingered hands.
Yeah, I really, really don't care.
Yeah.
But now, honestly, now it has even less reason, but now it doesn't need a reason. It's like, he's a guy who fights lamppost.
The new stuff is cool, like with the Sion relaunch and all that kind of insight into Noxus. That was neat, and the Bard, I don't really know how I feel about the Bard one, because it was a cool cartoon, but it didn't really shed any light on anything. Like, I don't know who Bard is. I just know that he has a weird horn, and he...
makes stupid sounds.
Something about an old man. I don't know.
Something about an old man's face exploding into, like, laser beams.
Like, blowing up a mountain.
I don't know what the hell it was about. Yeah, someone was on some serious acid when they storyboarded that shit out.
It was a well-done cartoon. It was just a little Alice in Wonderland-y.
Super, yes. Super nice. Next time, ease up on the peyote.
Yeah, but the Rek'Sai was really cool. That was a great one.
Did I watch the Rek'Sai one?
It was like the guys were on like a sand surfer or like a camel or something. They were like, oh, and then that bell started ringing, and they were like, oh no, she's coming, and then... you saw this big animation of Rek'Sai eating, a teenager.
Maybe I didn't watch that one.
It was good.
Maybe I'll have to go back and check that out.
Yeah, it was good.
Apparently, I'm just looking on Reddit right now, and Elements is trolling with their lineup announcement.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the picture of the shoes.
Yeah, the picture of the shoes. And people actually figured it out.
People have no life.
Now, what else do you have to do that day besides go through people's Twitter posts for the entire last year to match their shoes?
Listen, I love people, and I hope people are watching and listening to our show. Oh my god, people posted pictures of members of Elements with their shoes on.
Yeah,
they're
of course.
Using that as their evidence.
Apparently, I mean, they're pretty distinct shoes.
Apparently someone thinks Zora Zero is on the team.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah,
I mean, I just want to know the roster. I gotta start planning my fantasy league for the summer split.
All I know is that I am picking X-Peke, baby.
If you get first draft.
You think he's gonna be the number one pick?
I think within our league, he's probably gonna be the number one pick.
Yeah, because I'm gonna pick first, and my team's gonna be Team Sex-Peke.
Weren't you first pick last season?
I did, I picked Reckless and regretted it.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
That didn't work out for me at all.
Should have picked Bjergsen.
Probably should have picked Bjergsen.
Or Forgiven.
But Forgiven is...
We messed up.
Greasy, I didn't want him.
Listen, okay, at least you didn't pick up Piglet.
At least I didn't pick... You picked him second, though.
Yeah, it was early. It was not worth it.
It was second. You are just as good as I am.
Yeah, I know.
So,
did we cover it?
How do you feel about this?
I feel pretty good about it. We talked about a lot of stuff.
We did. We covered a lot of things. Things yeah. we didn't even think we were going to cover today.
No, not on the list.
Not on the list. We do write lists in case you were worried.
Yeah, this we have a script. Well, not a script. Format, really. I think it's a better word.
If some of this shit was written in a script, then we are sick, sick people.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very big problems.
Who wrote this down? Why?
Why would you even write this? This is just nonsense. These aren't even words.
I hope the NSA isn't listening, because we're definitely terrorists.
Yes. Don't say that. We're not terrorists. That's
we're not terrorists, NSA. Clearly. That was a joke. A sarcasm. Slash sarcasm.
Slash sarcasm. Don't say that stuff again. Strike that from the record.
Yeah, we'll edit that out.
So did we give SoloQ advice or
We did a little bit, but I don't know if it counted.
I don't know if picking a thematic lane necessarily counts as advice.
I think it counts. Do you have any? Do you have any SoloQ advice?
Do I have any?
Solo have you played SoloQ recently?
No, I haven't. I went on a losing streak and I had to back off.
You had to stop.
Going on full tilt. Plus, I've been playing a lot of ranked fives more recently.
Oh, I'm stuck in gold five.
Oh, poor
Duck,
baby.
Man. I get to like 98 points and then I lose two games. And I get back up to 98 points and I lose two games. It's so frustrating.
That does sound pretty frustrating. Like I said, yeah. I try to avoid going on tilts altogether.
I'm not tilted. I just want to fail my promos. That's all I really want to do. Let me get my promos so I can fail them and then start over again.
That sounds like advice to me. Get to your promos so you can fail them and do them over again.
Yeah, I think that's it. Write that down.
Mark that. There's your sage-like advice. Get to your promos so that you can fail them.
And then start over again.
Or the safest thing is don't even play to get your promos.
Don't even play to solo queue.
Just accept that you are where you are and you're never going anywhere else. Wow, that's pretty down.
It's dark. It's dark.
That's some deep, dark shit.
You're going to discourage our listeners.
I am going to help them rise above it, because they're going to say, because they're going to listen to us, and they're going, those guys don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
No.
And you'd be right.
You'd be damn right.
You would be correct. Correctamundo. Yep. Believe in yourself. That's what's really cool. There's my advice.
The more you know.
The more you know. Okay, so I feel pretty good. I'm happy about this.
Yeah, let's do it.
Ended on a high note. Thank you guys so much for watching again. Remember, check out our blog. Check out our YouTube page. We've got a lot of shit going on.
We have a YouTube page?
We have a YouTube page.
We should post videos on that.
There are. There are videos
on YouTube. Believe you.
They're not actual videos. Okay. They're videos with a static image and our podcast.
I see. Well, go there.
Yeah, go there. Make a video. I'm talking to you, not our audience.
Oh, me.
Yes, you, Pan the Man. You should make a video and just post it up there.
I should make a video. I am really good at this game.
Yeah, why not, man? Even if you don't make a video of you talking about how good you are at the game, I don't care.
I am really good.
And if you're listening and you want to make a video and send it to us and have us post it on our YouTube, we will. Guess what?
Yeah.
We're the kind of guys that are going to do that shit. Why? One, we have no shame. Two, we don't care.
Don't care.
There is shit that is in the works for us. We cannot talk about it. We will not talk about it. No, it's in the works. We've got a lot of plans for this. So stick with us. I promise.
Stay tuned.
I promise you it will be worth it. But as for right now, we're cutting it. Thank you guys so much. As always, I, of course, am Captain Hooks.
I'm Panda Man.
And we will see you on the Rift.
Bye-bye.